make out right that you people have contacts with lost people. If you don't, you ought to have. And they're going to bring different types of message. My work is to do the work of an evangelist, and I've done the best I could. Some nights in terrible pain. That's not your fault. I've done about the best I could do to preach the law and the gospel, to insist on how God saves people, what it means to be saved. And I certainly hope that when I see the members of the congregation at the judgment, I'll find out that you love my Lord. It's been pretty, it's been making the shoe fit for the pipe. And I've been battling for your soul. I do not see how the average Baptist could possibly be saved, because they're trusting something they've done, and they just won't keep on. As far as I can see, our language betrays us, and our attitude towards the Word. I watch people very carefully as I preach. I cannot look inside. No one can tell tares from wheat until harvest time. But you can tell the difference between a tare and wheat, because the wheat salt brings fruit at the proper time, and the tare doesn't. A Christian, of course, is a fruit bearer. And God knows, but I don't. But tonight I've come. I hope I'll be able to make it. I covet your very earnest attention. I am extremely nervous and in extreme pain just now. And I think I have a right that for one time you make your kids behave. You give me a listen, will you? A good spanking is the proper part of the anatomy. About a dozen spankings one night would take care of that problem. You never have to do it again. I'm very much interested myself, and for all people who profess to be saved, that's the most of the people we get to preach to now, for the lines are very sharply divided, and every day our church people get more isolated from the people of the world. Every day we draw our cloak a little more around us and keep clean for Jesus. And so I just open the Word and speak to people. Nearly everybody I get to preach to these days is a member of some kind of a congregation calling itself a church. And I'm very anxious for a very careful hearing. As for the last time, I opened the Scriptures to the congregation as such. Been largely my audience. We've had visitors. I trust all of the visitors from other churches, the one night attenders, are saved. I do not believe that anybody is saved who isn't a constant hearer of the Word of God. Do you? Isn't that what faith is? Essentially, the essence of faith is hearing the Word of God. That's what it is. A Christian never loses an opportunity to hear the Word of God. Now, you can just put that down. The essence of saving faith is the hearing of the Word of God. That's what makes it up. And in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, at verse 22, there is a verse that I am tremendously interested in. It is a tremendous statement, and I'm going to do my dead level best to open up the meaning of it. God will let me. And I want you to do your dead level best to hear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, I want you to get it before you. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The word anathema means the curse. The word maranatha means the Lord cometh. Your blessed pastor and I have had some fellowship in studying the doctrine of the last things. We differ very much on it. But since neither one of us knows much about it, neither do you, we be brethren. Is that all right? I like to preach the fundamentalists something they don't believe. See the reaction. If we fundamentalists are in terrible danger of making out like we are God. And I just don't believe you fundamentalists have got all the truth. Do you think you have? I know I haven't. But our attitude toward truth is somewhat indicative of whether we know the author of the Bible. And we remember that since all of us see as in a glass darkly and only in part, especially is this good for those who try to contend for the faith, we need to remember that since we do not know too much, we wouldn't shoot at a fellow that doesn't know much either, would we? We wouldn't look down on him. What little you know, that soul, the Holy Spirit showed it to you. So it's not really yours, it's a gift, isn't it? But the pastor and I do agree the Lord's coming back. We differ as to the time. But when he comes back, any man who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ will be accursed by him when he comes back. Is that all right? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, this then is the one big thing I'm interested in. Does Ralph Barnes love the Lord Jesus Christ? I ain't talking about yesterday, sister. I'm talking about right now. Huh? Right now? I ain't fixing to go to hell depending on something that happened yesterday. I don't know about right now. Huh? I believe with all of my heart that every human being that tells me he's saved because of what happened back yonder, I believe you've missed Christ. I do. I don't make it so. But I preach Exodus because I believe it with all my heart. I don't find anything like that in the New Testament. I hear them saying, I've been born again. But the only way you can know you've been born again is by the fruit. And the fruit of the new birth is a lifelong repentance towards God and reliance on Jesus Christ. Not a one act, but a lifelong. No human being can put his finger on the time of his birth, because the baby has to be born before his cry. And the cry of the baby is the proof that life is already there. This generation is going to be full of people claiming they've been born again. I'm talking about that as an experience they've had. And they're going to go right straight to hell, because the new birth is the work of God. The Spirit does that. And the only evidence you've got that you are born of the Spirit is that today your life is characterized by two things: a turning from to God and a reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not yesterday, but today. Today, today. You believe that? That's so. That's so. How can you tell whether a tree is a peach tree or an apple tree? By the fruit, can't you? And the new birth is known only on by fruit. Then if I've been born of the Spirit, he lives a daily life of repentance. Daily life of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Utter reliance and obedience to him. That's your show. Ralph Barnes is gravely interested in this text. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't say if any man not a Baptist, or if any man hasn't made a decision, if any man hadn't quit drinking, if any man hadn't quit whipping his wife, or if any man hadn't turned over a new leaf, or if any man had lived a little better life than he used to, but says if any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going to happen to him? When the Lord returns, he's going to be accursed, he's going to be damned by the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, I'm going to do my dead level best to ask three questions and answer them. I hope you're interested. But before I ask the questions, I want us to face the awful, 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 awful tragedy and sin of living in God's world, not being head over heels in love for the one whom God says, this is the Son of my love. God loves Jesus. And you're a terrible devil if you don't. You ought to be accursed. If you do not come to agree with God about his Son, those terrible sin that any human being could possibly be guilty of is not to agree with God about the loveliness and the beauty and the glory of his only begotten Son. I'm telling you the truth. I could get a fight started at the parsonage if I got me a club and went to beating on Joanna. She's the cock of the walk around her. She runs the whole house. Paul and Laura sure get after me if I didn't love the little old wrestler. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Almighty God ain't going to take it lightly. You mistreat the Son of his love, either. That's the God's truth. not to love him. Being rebellion against the highest throne in the universe. Because he died on the cross, he's sitting on the throne right now. He's been given authority over everything that wiggles on the earth. That's God's reward to his Son. For his Son having willingly laid down his life for his sheep. And God spoke Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, perfect life and death on the cross, glorious resurrection and exaltation. He spoke his last words. If you do not honor the Lord Jesus Christ, you insult God, and you wound him in the deepest way that a sinner can wound God. You hurt my only child. You hurt me. Surely, if you mistreat God's only begotten Son, you are a devil. We can't set aside this word. If so, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus comes, he'll damn him. He'll curse him. The essence of all S-I-N sin is arrogance, the setting up of myself on the throne instead of Jesus Christ. There is no New Testament salvation apart from utter submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The essence of salvation, the thing that salvation is the collapse of the rule of yourself and the enthronement of Jesus Christ as your Lord. I tell you, this generation of church members that say, I don't think so and so, and this is how I look at it, they're going to hell. Ain't none of your business. You must be under utter submission to Jesus Christ. He'll do the thinking. He does the directing. And you do the obeying, or you're going to hell. And I look you in the face and tell you, hope you're not guilty, but you're living in a generation of church people that don't pay one bit of attention to what God tells them in this book. They decide how they'll live. They decide what's right and wrong. They decide how much money they'll put in the pot. They decide this and that and the other. There's only one person that's been given the right to decide everything for you and me, and this will keep you busy, honey. Bringing your decisions to Christ and let him purge them. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. Yet we still go around talking about, won't you please accept Jesus as your Savior? No, no. No, no. What we've had is a belief in him. And some truth about him that still leaves us in control of our lives. And the way we've been doing it to make certain our church people, Brother Pastor, go to hell, every once in a while, we give the dear unsaved church people an opportunity to rededicate themselves. And that makes them feel a little better on the road to hell. No, this dedication, that's what salvation is. I'm not talking about the deeper life. There ain't no such animal. I'm not talking about the so-called victorious life. There ain't no such animal. I'm just talking about coming to Christ and turning yourself over to Him, lock, stock, and barrel, with everything you know. And then the next day, He'll put His finger on something else, and you'll have to do it all over again. And the next day, you'll have to do it all over again. Not that you get more sinful, but your conscience gets better, and the Lord Jesus can talk to you better. And He'll say, that's got to go, and that's got to go, and that's got to go, and that's Christian life. That's Christian life. Everything's got to go. Except what's brought under His blessed roof. My friends, the road to hell is more than skid row. It may be the path that makes you a church member without yourself. You, your old ego, yourself, without it being the throne. Jesus Christ enthroned. And I warn you. You can't have two lords at the same time. Self on the go. Jesus Christ will not come in. That's what it means. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Got to be dumb, or you'll never get in spitting distance of Jesus Christ. Take up the cross of me, die. D-I-E, die. I talked to a young man one time as a farmer, and I said, tonight, I'm expecting you to walk that aisle, stand up and publicly confess what you deep down in your heart believe. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He said, preacher, if I did that, it'd kill me. I said, that's what I know. Of course it'll kill you. Of course it'll kill you. You'll never own another dime. Everything you've got, He'll own. You just the steward of it. Huh? Why, cool. How much does it cost a man to get saved? It costs you yourself. No, you won't be in command anymore. Amen? He's in command. The awful Christ, not loving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask three questions about this text. First, what kind of love is he talking about that I must have? Else I'll follow the Lord Jesus. Else I'll be damned by when he returns. This world doesn't believe it. Church people don't believe it. We premillenarians don't believe it. It's just the doctrine with us. Now that's got in our heart. But this world hadn't seen the last of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. And when He comes back, one thing He's going to do, He's going to damn every human being who's ever lived in His earth who didn't love Him. Didn't love Him. First, what kind of love must I have for the Lord Jesus Christ, or else be accursed? Second, why is this love absolutely essential? Third, how may I know I have this love? I'm interested in these questions. If I don't come up with the right answer, God bless your heart, I hope you do. If I miss it, I won't help you with it. I'm interested in the kind of love the New Testament teaches Ralph Barnard must have for the Lord Jesus Christ, else still damned in sin to the head. I'm interested in why that must be so. I'm interested in whether or not there's any way on earth this preacher can find out whether I do love the Lord Jesus Christ with the love he demands. Else he'll curse me. And I hasten to say that the testimony of the New Testament is this, that I must love Jesus Christ on the job with my supremest love. I must find my chief delight, my chief joy, my chief satisfaction in beholding him at work. Now, a lot of people talk about how they love Jesus, but they don't like his work. But you can't separate him from his word. He's on the job right now. And if I don't love him as he's working at the job the Father sent him to do, I don't love him with the love I must have. The Father said, this is the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased. I must come to the place where I am well pleased, thank you, with the Lord Jesus Christ as he worketh. You know, all of us have things in which we get delight and joy. You like to think about your home. You get a lot of joy and delight, don't you, out of things like that. You like to think about your family, your children. Surely in these days of conflict, you like to contemplate your country, America. And there are friends in whom you take great delight. Remember? We couldn't live. We'd go crazy if there weren't things in which we get joy, out of which we get joy. Isn't that right? But the thing that must give us our chief joy, and unless it's bigger, unless your love for Jesus is more intimate and vital than your love for your children or your mother or your father or anything else, you don't love him with the love you must have, else you're going to damn. If a man loves his father and mother more than Christ, this thing's serious. My Lord Jesus Christ is a supreme dictator. He demands absolutely that he be the chief joy and delight and satisfaction and complacency of my heart. That's the God's rule. I'm telling you, folks, you may think I'm hard, but I love your soul. I don't want what you've got. And I bleed about this, but this little stuff that people call salvation today ain't going to get the job done. Unless a man finds his chief joy. I mean his chief joy. Bigger than everything else put together. In the Lord Jesus Christ, on his job, we'll look at him on his job in a minute. I'm looking in the face and telling you, do not have the love that God requires. And you're going to go sent to hell. This was challenging me. You see, right near the street, in the Bible, God, love is used in two ways. I'll have to use big words. There's the love of benevolence. Bene means good, and volence means will. We have a love of goodwill toward people. There's that old drunkard. You say, I pity him. I love him. I do him good. I wish I could help him. But you do not take delight in him, do you? You do not find your joy in looking at him or thinking about him, do you? You love him in the same sense that God loves all men, in that he pities them and would do them good. But God does not take delight in them. He pities them, but he doesn't have any joy. And then there's the love of complacency. You like to think about somebody. Amen? Yet I think about my dear wife. I've been separated from her 10 days to one. I've been with her. We've been married 36 years or nothing. I get out her picture. We write every day of the week. Awful. And I know every feature. I like to see her face as I'm looking at you. I take great delight. Just let you think about it. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, this poor little pitiful Jesus the brethren been preaching. He ought to pity him. You ought to try to help him out. Join the church and start working for it. But the Christ of the Bible doesn't need your pity. Thank God he's on the throne. I'm not asking you to take pity on him. I'm telling you, folks, he don't need your pity. He'll have your love for him as he's working at the job where he's going to damn you. You see, if I can illustrate what we mean by being on the job, best I can find out, I've inquired a little bit, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. This is a delightful young man. He's brilliant. You look at his eyes. He's smart as wit. Works hard. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't have to work for a living. He's wearing his life out in his job. I think that if I could get acquainted with him, I'd like John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And I said, well, I like him, but I don't like him as President of the United States. But you have to. That's what he is. Isn't it? Huh? And you just can't like John Fitzgerald Kennedy now and say, I like him as a man, but I don't like him working at his job. Well, he's working his job. You can't separate him from his job. I think I could like old Nikita Khrushchev. He seems to be a real fellow, well met, got a lot of humor. Likes to keep the world trembling every time he wiggles his toe, gets a big kick out of him. Brilliant, smart little boy.
But I don't like him as the chairman of the Communist Party. He's trying to stamp God and everything else that smells of him out of the world. But I can't separate him from his God. God help you. Listen one time. You can't like Jesus. Can't love Jesus. Unless you head over the heels in love with the Jesus. Who was a bloody sacrifice on a gold tree. And is now sitting on a throne doing what God sent him to do. Listen to God, man. Unless rock bottom is get the cheapest, the life, satisfaction, pleasure, and joy out of doing what God's people do while they work and pay and everything else. And I know I'm telling the truth now. The one activity of God's people as they go about their work and everything else. There's a hole in that one hanging on that cursed bloody tree. See him go away there. And tell me this is the day without getting the light and feasting on him as he hangs on that awful tree. And I tell you, you are not safe. And the Bible is crystal clear. But if God looks at it, I can't understand it. The cross of Jesus Christ is his own eternity. He's forever on that cross. He is a lamb hanging on it before the foundation of the world. In the sight of God and in the sight of his dear saved people, he's still hanging there. I look in the face and tell you, casual church attendees, you're headed for hell. You don't love my Lord. Find your keeps alive and him hanging there today in the eyes and heart of God. Eternal bloody sacrifice to deal with God's holy law and not fear. Enable God to be just and to justify the ungodly at the same time. But he's also on the throne. Are you doing? Do you get a kick out of just thinking about him? Forever on the cross. Thank God forever on the cross. On that cross there, he dealt with God's law. He's on the throne. is not only proven by your election, be there whether you like it or not. He's not on the throne by your permission. He's there by God's exhortation. God's put him down there. Do you let the people about him? He's done with it. I know this. Just speak the faith that the God sees in the child of death. What else can it mean that the Lamb stands before the foundation? He's forever on the throne. Don't you let me be kidding. Oh, man. The Lord took his glory to me. The Lord said that the Lord of God was manifested. The soul was smitten, held down, held his head in his hand. He finds there forgiveness and remission for this sin. Forever upon the cross, he still did men to look at him. As the blessed Pope died from his manly body, see where the glory is there. But the preaching of whom Christ is preaching, not only is one forever on the cross, but thank God, forever on the throne. And just like you see putting down, you must fall in love with him as he works with his God. You need to share these preachers. And this is interesting to me. The God's prophet, he thinks to himself, there's nothing else to preach. He preached about his death on the cross. He said, except the grain of corn fall into the ground and die. But without it, he said, it took me 5 days to break my blood. You have no life in me. And he preached his enthronement, not by words so much as by demonstration. That's always the best. On the television, they demonstrate what the 17-month variety of faith is in man. It's all there. I talked to ladies that have down on her knees, stepping the floor, and I said, why don't you buy some of that stuff that's on television? And always trying to get my wife to it. That all you got to do is put it in the same room as the first and other language, but it don't quite work that way, apparently. This is the day of demonstration, all that he has there. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his lordship. He spoke and waited that the person lay down on the ship. He spoke and disease was vanished. He spoke! Dead man came out of the grave. He spoke! And the boy got out of the casket on his way to the cemetery. He spoke! And the kingdom trembled. And death was not his gift. The demon got more evidence of salvation. And the Lord is Baptist. They at least find out who you are, so we know who you are. Thou art the Holy One of God. He is faithful to his Lordship. He is the Lord of the man. He weeps over his city. He is all men. He is the same Baptist is the Mr. Salvation. And the Advent Baptist, say, please find out who you are so we know who you are. Thou art the Holy One of God. We cannot confess it to you, Lord. Say, the Lord is a man. He's weak to the world, say this. He's all men.
Experience the birth from above. So
give you power to Jesus Christ. Get the joy out of your thinking about it. Many theologians call what I'm teaching feasting on the blood of your justification. Just thinking about it. All the regrets in your life. That's what needs to be efficient. That's the kind of love that a man must have, or he'll be a curse to Jesus Christ. It requires this love of essential. I'm just going to give you 2 points first. That's the occupation of the devil. Don't you know? But if you do not take the life in man as he working, you be a mess up in heaven. That's what they do in heaven. Listen. The servant shall serve it, mostly see his soul. You see here what salvation is. It starts with a look at me. In the name of Christ. Sitting there on the throne. You see it with a mighty dim view, don't you? And then it continues its beauty. You look as in the glass. But you look. Daily in the kingdom. Amen. And it's finished when it comes back. For the scripture says, we shall see it everywhere it is. All. And that having the spiritual glasses out, seeing in all of his glory, he will transform. And thus he died on the cross. He started on. It will be accomplished. And I'll be just like him. If we see the lightning, what'll make it like? Is that down there? God started the process to get in here at the Lord. Where? Hanging on his bloody cross. Where? Sitting on the mark of the cross, claimed the blood and it gets into the face of Christ our Savior. The power that sent him flowed in the eyes. So that's where the power is. No wonder you don't live very alive. You're not in contact with him on the throne. That's where holiness is. And heaven will be forgetting. Amen. We'll see it in the living. The lovely one. There is the king power. It's the occupation of him. And of course, it's the occupation of your life, the chief occupation of your life now. As you and I say, got to be. You know what I'm talking about, washing the dishes. Where you get your good, great delight in your children, husband, family, or job? Where? Oh, dear Christian, somebody means so much more. You see him hanging on that cross, sitting on the ground. Amen? This thing's essential because you must be vitally joined to Him. You must be married to Him. Absolutely married to Christ. That's what it means to say. Brother John Reed, are you married? Huh? Are you really? You pretty sure you are? Huh? Isn't it true to talk about it? I don't know whether I'm saved or not. You know whether you're married or not, don't you? Huh? And you know whether you are actually united to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you do. He said, you make me doubt my salvation. You ain't got none to start with. You know. You know whether you're married or not. You know whether you're joined by faith to Him. You know where your delight comes from, don't you? You keep it. You know that, don't you? I'd fight you if you come up with a little stuff that I know when I got saved. That's silly. Now, nobody here knows. That's too wonderful and mysterious. It's the silly. Talking about little baby, tell me when you were born. There's a ram, but it couldn't say. The new birth known only by its fruit. Amen. But I don't give it if you know you're about that and going to hell if you want to. That kind of salvation you got ain't worth a dime, no how. But what I'm talking about getting married to the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir, you're married, sir. Your vital is yours. He's the vine, you're the what? You're the branches. Where's the power come from? The vine. Amen. God bless you. It's essential. How can I know whether I love the Lord Jesus Christ with the love that I got to have? My time's up. But this is a rather important question. It'll take about 2 minutes and I'll let you go. Everybody says they love Jesus. Well, yes, here are three simple proofs that a person loves the Lord Jesus Christ and finds his chief delight in Him. First, he loves the gospel. He just loves the gospel. It just thrills him every time he hears. The poorest little old preacher or witness on the street corner that sets aside top or bottom of the gospel, God's people love it. God's people love it. Fellas not sit over heels in love, but the thing that tells about the Lord. That shows he's not head over heels in love with the one that's talked about. You love a gospel church. You are a devil. If you give any help to a church that the pulpit and the Sunday school teachers do not love and preach and L-I-V-E live the gospel. You are not saved. You can't be. Because you cannot accept, you cannot separate Christ from the gospel, the gospel from Christ. And you cannot separate Christ from a gospel church. That's his body. Now Christ didn't hear in the flesh, and the little Jesus most people say they've accepted is the Jesus of their imagination. We're getting down to brass tacks. Do you love the gospel? Do you love a gospel church? Do you? Sure enough. That's an acid.
I didn't say a fundamental church or an independent church. I said a gospel. I know lots of fundamental churches wouldn't know the gospel from nothing wrong. And I know lots of independent churches that just hate the gospel, fight it, wouldn't let a man in it that believes. I do. So I'm not using, I'm just saying, well, the gospel is loved and preached and lived. Amen? That's the adjective. How can I tell whether I love Jesus Christ with the love I must have or be damned by him? Well, if I love the brethren, not the members of my little congregation, not the folks that believe like I do, but the brethren. Amen? Huh? You got it in for anybody, you go into hell. Somebody hurt your feelings, you kind of heard about it, you go into hell. Somebody loves Christ. Love every one of his dear little people. Huh? That's right. All this fussing and stuff they have with the called churches today. You know what that proves? Just a bunch of unsaved, in for hell, church members. Brother, you can put this down. You love Christ. Get your delight out of him. You also get a great joy and delight out of the brethren. We know it's past and death and life. If we love all the Baptists, no, no. We love all the folks of our persuasion, no, no. If we love the brethren. And we can tell whether we love Jesus with the love we must have. If we keep his commandments. We haven't got where we keep them perfectly, but we keep them in the right spirit. Huh? The Lord said so. Didn't he? Maybe I better read it. 14th chapter of John said so. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Amen. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I won't curse him, and I'll love him. And will manifest myself to him. Boy, they're washing the dishes, plowing the corn. You and the Lord just have a wave of a good time. Huh? Verse 23, Jesus answered unto him, the man loved me. He'll keep my word. Put that down, brother. Are you preaching Christian perfection? The Bible teaches it. All the people are going to be perfect someday. Not yet. But I'm not a perfect preacher, but I'm a preacher. Huh? Huh? I can't live perfectly, but I live. We keep them not because we're scared, but we want to please them. Huh? We love him. Huh? Amen. I told you this word, you must come to Christ. Don't stand afar off and believe something about him. Hurry up, get to him. Hurry up and lay hold of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Get to Christ. Where is it? He's forever on the cross. Don't try to dodge it. Where is he? He's on the throne, bowed to him. Stay there the rest of your life. Thank God. Amen. Come to us.